The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with Kia Credit. Flexible 142 finance solutions from Kia, home of the 7-year warranty.
Have a listen to this now.
Dear Christ, the very prison walls suddenly seemed to reel, and the sky above my head became like a cask of scorching steel, and though I was a soul in pain, my pain I could not feel. I only knew what hunted thought quickened his step, and why he looked upon the garish day with such a wistful eye. The man had killed the thing he loved, and so he had to die. Yet each man kills the thing he loves. By each let this be heard. Some do it with a bitter look, some with a flattering word. The coward does it with a kiss, the brave man with a sword. Some kill their love when they are young, and some when they are old. Some strangle with the hands of lust, some with the hands of gold. The kindest use a knife, because the dead so soon grow cold.
And that was Neil Tobin reading an extract from Oscar Wilde's The Ballad of Reading Gaol. Well, this week an exhibition opens in Reading in England that tells the story of Oscar Wilde's time in the jail. Wilde was jailed for homosexuality in the 1890s, and the exhibition promises new insights into aspects of prison life which inspired the poem. Professor Peter Stoneley of the University of Reading has been examining archives of the recently closed prison, which shed new light on the men who helped Wilde through his imprisonment, who until now have been largely ignored. And Professor Stoneley joins me now. Good morning to you.
Good morning, John.
Thanks for coming in this morning. One of the items you have uncovered in your trawl through the archives is a very clear photograph of a handsome fellow who called Harry Bushnell, and a small, dark-haired and handsome young inmate said to have caught Oscar Wilde's eye.
Yes. Bushnell was an agricultural labourer and a petty thief, and he was imprisoned at the same time as Wilde for having stolen nuts off a tree and shirts off a line. And Wilde noticed him, and when Wilde was released, he arranged for money to be sent to Bushnell, £2.10, which was probably just about Bushnell's monthly wage at the time. And he sent a letter, which no longer exists as far as we know. I think it's important, John, to draw some lines around the relationship in that, yes, Wilde noticed him, and yes, he seems to have noticed him as a little dark-eyed chap. But in Reading Prison, the prisoners weren't allowed to talk to each other, and they certainly weren't allowed to fraternise. So it's interesting that Wilde had very slight contacts with his fellow prisoners, but he was very aware of them, and he was very interested in them in all sorts of ways. It wasn't just the younger, handsome ones like Bushnell. It was also the children that he saw in the prison, and especially the mentally disturbed. He was very shocked and troubled by the way that the people whom he believed were clearly mentally disturbed were being treated around him, and I'm afraid that included birching.
Sure. And the records, Peter, reveal details of inmates and their crimes, including the official execution record of the soldier whose hanging is the centrepiece of the Ballad of Reading Gaol.
That's right. The execution register, which is a very grim document, it records the hanging of Trooper Charles Wooldridge, and the ballad is dedicated to Wooldridge because Wooldridge was hanged in the prison whilst Wilde was in there serving his own sentence. And so Wilde learnt about Wooldridge's crime. It had been a crime of passion. Wooldridge had stabbed his wife and killed her, and I don't think Wilde thought that was to be discounted at all, but he saw it as a tragic act, a tragic act of passion. And of course the poem explores that idea that perhaps we all deviate from our paths and betray each other in one way or another, and he wants to explore that idea of shared guilt And he's doing that in the context of a very rigid, judgmental society. I think that's the crucial thing about that poem. He's seeking to open out people's sense of who matters and why they matter.
Mm-hmm. And Wilde's failing health is also chronicled from an inquiry in 1896.
Yes, that's right. Wilde, he lost a lot of weight when he was sent to prison. The diet was very poor indeed, and it caused him to become ill. And he had fits of dizziness, and during one of them he fell and struck his head on a stone floor. And ever after that he had problems with his hearing. So during his sentence, he was worried, first of all, about his hearing and his eyesight, but he was also very worried that he was becoming insane. If you think that a man like Wilde, who'd led such a public life, such a spectacular life, and who had so many friends, and was married and had children, basically it was solitary confinement. It was called the separate system. So he spent virtually all his time on his own, not able to talk to anyone. Mm-hmm. And so he was worried about losing his health, his sanity. And he petitioned the Home Office for early release on the grounds of his hearing problems and his fears about insanity. I'm afraid they reject his petition. But yes, the records that are going on display have the note from the committee that made the assessment. But he was made to serve his full sentence.
Yeah, and he also, I know you say there was minimal contact with other prisoners, but he wrote to a friend, "There are many good, nice fellows
yes.
here. I have 7 or 8 friends. They are capital chaps."
Yes. Isn't that wonderful that this man whose life is in absolute turmoil has very slight contact with other people, but he invests that contact with a tremendously generous spirit of, we're all in this together, I like them, I don't know them very well, but they are capital chaps.
Who were they, Peter?
Well, they were various people. You've got men like Bushnell, who was a petty thief. There were a couple of soldiers in there who had been imprisoned for drunken misbehavior in the when they should have been sober and doing their duty. And he also befriended a warder, a man from Belfast, who ran little errands for him and gave him information about his fellow prisoners, because obviously he wasn't supposed to know their names or what they were in prison for, but a friendly warder gave him pieces of information about the various inmates and enabled Wilde. That was how Wilde knew their names and was able to send them money to help them when they were released.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, Peter, do the archives deal in any way with the sort of work that the prisoners had to do in prison?
Yes, yes. Wilde was sentenced to 2 years hard labour, but he was in his 40s, early 40s by the time he went to prison. So as far as I can establish, he was only given what would have been called light labour, which was oakum picking, where you have to unpick tarry strands of rope. And the prisoners were set to do this for hour after hour from early morning till midday and then for most of the afternoon. So in the poem, he writes about how they have to tear the tarry rope with blunt and bleeding nails, that sense that it becomes almost a kind of torture. That was light labour, though. Hard labour involved things like treadmills, it involved stone breaking, and it involved something called shot drill, where a prisoner was obliged to pick up a heavy piece of shot, metal shot, and then step several paces to one side, put it down, pick it up, step several paces back again, over and over. So it was exhausting and utterly pointless, of course,
yeah.
Which must have made it all the more dispiriting.
Well, thanks a million for sharing those insights into Wilde's time in jail with us this morning. And I know the full findings of your search to the archives are going to be published later this month in the Journal of Victorian Culture.
That's right.
Listen, Professor Peter Stoneley, thanks a million for coming in this morning.
Thanks, John. Pleasure.
And in a moment, we're going to be talking about a man who's going to talk about the man in the woman's shoes.
Text 51551. The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.